Amen. What a promise. We will see Jesus just as he is. It is such an honor to be joining with you today, all the way from Kansas City, Missouri, and to join with you as we explore God's Word. If you have your copy of the Scriptures, would you please pull it out and open to the New Testament book of Jude. The New Testament book of Jude. If you reach the book of Revelation, you've gone a little too far. It's right there in front of it. Jude is a very short epistle written to the people of God who are awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. They are waiting for Jesus to come, to return, just as we heard in song, as we ourselves sang just a few moments ago. And as they wait, they are facing troubling times. I don't know about you, but there seems to be a lot of trouble going on in the world today. Some of you are troubled by the fact that Mississippi State didn't quite make it this weekend. But there are real issues that we face when we look at the geopolitical circumstances of the day. When we look at issues around the border, when we look at how families are under attack, when we look at God's plan for marriage as under attack, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, to wonder, how is this all going to end? We may even feel helpless or uncertain for the days to come. What are we to do? Perhaps this is why we like superhero movies so much. It seems like every other week there's a new movie that comes out with a superhero. Perhaps we feel like we need a Captain America to lead us into battle. Maybe we need a Black Panther who's going to provide the protection of vibranium. Maybe we need an Iron Man who will use his wealth to provide solutions for the future. We need this idea of help. This need for help, for security, for being rescued seems so hardwired in us. When my son was 4, one of his favorite things to do was to dress up like superheroes. One of his favorite costumes was this Spider-Man costume that had the built-in muscles. And he would come and he would put the mask on. And when his sister would see him, she would say, "Oh, Sean, you're Spider-Man. Save me." And then she'd try to faint backwards and have him catch her. This sense of the need to be rescued is in us because we know, friends, that ultimately this world is hurting. This world is struggling. And friends, the answer is in Jesus Christ. See, the early church knew this all too well. They knew what it was like to be pressed upon. They knew what it was like to be oppressed. They knew what it was like to feel as if the world was absolutely against them. And it is in this context that we find ourselves reading a letter from Jude, brother of the Apostle James. So there, if you've found Jude in your New Testament, let's look at verse 17. This is the word of God. "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit.' But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Now, as Jude is writing to the audience that he is addressing this to, the people of God who are struggling, who are hurting, he reminds them of something that is so key. If you're taking notes this morning, this is the first thing that we see in this text, is that we need to know our times. We need to know our times. Listen, from the apostles' day until today, the enemy will continue to attack the people of God. The enemy will continue to attack the men and women, boys and girls who are followers of Jesus Christ, because friends, those of us who've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are the people of God. And he says, look, I don't want you to be confused. Even the apostles told us that there are going to be certain classes of individuals that are going to come specifically against you. Number one, see here, the scoffer. The scoffer, the one who takes the things that are precious to you, who takes the idea of a living, resurrected Lord and they scoff at it, who takes the word of God and says, this is nothing but a book of fairy tales, and they scoff at it. And friends, we know much more than that. But not only are there scoffers, there are those who are following their own ungodly passions. If you watch any Disney movie, we've seen the refrain over and over again to follow your own heart, follow your dreams. Friends, that is antithetical to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about our hearts? It is desperately wicked. It is full of all evil desires. Friends, that is not something we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be following our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we are faced with these things, these ideas, these scoffers, those who are telling us to abandon the Word of God, to follow our own dreams, these pieces we should know that we're being pressed in upon. Notice also that there are those who are bringing division. Worldly people, this is verse 19, devoid of the Spirit. By saying devoid of the Spirit, what Jude is saying is these are not true followers of Jesus Christ. So people who come into our midst to try to sow in discord in our midst, to get us warring against one another, to get us to turn away from the love that we share in Christ, these are people who are not true followers of Jesus Christ. Beware. The apostles have told us from the beginning, and Jude is reminding his audience about this. So what are we to do? What are we to do? And this is where we see the second thing in our text today, that we are to live in Christ. We are to live, anchor our life in Jesus Christ. The key portion of this next section of verses is found in verse 21. We are given the command to keep yourself in the love of God. To keep yourself in the love of God. This is not an empty thought. This is not a throwaway phrase. Jude is saying that the anchor for your heart and my life is the love of God. And friends, the love of God is most fully expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. God sent his only Son into the world so that through him you and I might experience salvation. God sent Jesus, as we sang earlier, to die on a cruel Roman tree for your sins, my sins. We are in Christ if we have trusted Jesus as our Savior. I'm obviously going to need to move a little less. God gave us Jesus, his love expressed for us. And friends, this is the thing that we hold on to, that no matter what comes our way, we keep ourselves in the love of God. But Jude gives us some anchoring points to understand exactly what we are to do. Notice in verse 20, he says we are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Christianity is not a one-time thing where I walked an aisle and I said that I followed Jesus and it's all said and done. I have a hell insurance policy and it's all good. It is instead a perpetual walk of obedience, becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And friends, the way that you and I do that is to build ourselves up in our faith. This is why as a church we have small group Bible study. This is why, as a church, we do specific teaching through the Word of God. This is why, as a church, we gather together and encourage one another in our faith. We build ourselves up. This is why, as a seminary in Kansas City, we exist to build up the men and women that we're training for ministry. We are to do this as a means of answering the questions of those who are seeking truth. Friends, when was the last time that you grew in your faith?
that you saw marked progression in your own following of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to build ourselves up. We can go deeper. We can go wider, knowing all the time that our foundation is in Jesus Christ. When my family lived in Texas, we had an amazing house that God gave to us. It was an incredible place, but there was a serious problem. The foundation cracked. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that, where companies have to come out and they have to dig underneath your foundation and they have to prop it up and put all these things underneath it and balance everything out so that your house is safe again, that it is secure again. In Jesus, our firm foundation, friends, we do not slide. So we go deeper and we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But not only are we to build on the foundation that's there, friends, we are to pray in the Spirit. Notice that the text here has this understanding that we are to continually be praying for the things of God. Now, we have some friends, maybe down the street or other places, that would say, hey, this praying in the Holy Spirit, that has to refer to speaking in tongues. Not here. That's not what it's talking about in the text. What it's talking about is for you and I to pray God's will. For you and I to pray God's will. One of the most effective things that you and I can do is to open the Word of God, and as we're reading through the Word of God, to find those amazing passages of Scripture where we can pray them back to God. That's praying in the Spirit. Where we can know the truth of what God desires so that we pray passionately for the salvation of souls. That we pray passionately for our men and women who are serving around the globe, sharing Jesus with others. That we pray passionately for our church, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known in Jackson, Mississippi. That through the church, we would see change happening in lives all around us. We pray in the Spirit. And friends, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray with power. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead resides in you. Our prayers are not effective because the Holy Spirit is in the life of every single believer. Dear friend, when was the last time you found yourself on your knees praying passionately, powerfully for the things of God, for revival to break out here in Jackson? For changes to begin to happen in my own heart, in your own heart. Where are we? It's also a knowledge that, friends, we do not shrink back. No matter what storm comes our way, we do not shrink back because we are following Jesus Christ. Notice that here in verse 20, you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is where we are in the love of God. We're building, we're praying, and then finally here, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus that leads to eternal life. We wait for the mercy. Is this talking about salvation, that I need to somehow wait for salvation to come to me? No, we pursue salvation in Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're here today and you've never heard the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, come today. He calls. He wants to see you saved. But friends, what we're talking about is exactly what we sang about, that we're waiting for Jesus to bring all things. It's an eschatological promise of the return of our Savior. We wait in like a holding pattern. We wait, but we know that Jesus will return. So friends, if we know our times and if we live in Christ, we're not left without an action point. And that's what verse 22 and verse 23 is all about, that it's time to take action. We are not to sit idly by. The mercy of God expressed in the love of Jesus Christ in your life and mine puts us on mission. It puts us on mission. It's not enough for us to gather here in a beautiful sanctuary, singing amazing songs, being blessed by the musicians. It is not enough for us to stop from this place and do nothing else. Instead, we are to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ to everyone who is around us. There are three classes of people that Jude identifies here. First are those who are the waverers. Have mercy on those who doubt, those who don't quite know where they're supposed to be, who don't quite know how all of this works out. We're to have mercy on them. We're to express the mercy of Christ to them. We're to sit around and grab coffee with them. We're to help share the gospel with them over and over again, asking great questions. Did you know what Jesus did for my life? Have you heard about the difference that Jesus can make in your life? Michael Green, in his book, Evangelism in the Early Church, talks about that this was the most powerful way that the early church spread the gospel, was what he called gossiping the gospel, sitting around tables at restaurants and in community events and just simply saying, have you heard about what God does through Jesus Christ? People's ears would begin to perk up, and they would have an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus Christ with them. Friends, it's our delight, our joy, to share Jesus with others. There's another class, verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. By snatching them out of the fire. If you were driving along the road and you saw someone trapped in a large grass fire or a forest fire, you would do everything you could to get them to safety. We don't want to see them trapped. John Wesley, the great hymn writer and great revivalist, considered himself a brand snatched from the burning because at 4 years of age, when the rectory at the church that his dad pastored began to catch on fire, he was saved at the last moment from the flames. Friends, that same image is why you and I pursue every single person with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because there is a reality of hell. And one day, we're going to see Jesus, and it's going to be glorious for you and for me. But for those who have turned away from Jesus, it's not. So friends, we are motivated by the text of Scripture to make sure that we are sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with even those who are on a path of separation from God. We intervene. Confrontation is actually assumed in this. We snatch them out of the fire. But there's a third class. Those who are wallowers in their own sin. To others, it says, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. There's a caution here. Most likely what Jude is referring to is sexual sin. He's talking about those who have jumped in, who've abandoned the truth, and have gotten involved in all kinds of things that are contrary to the word and nature of God. And as they do that, it becomes a temptation, not only for them, but often for those who are even in their proximity. It's that old adage, when we see someone fall, you will hear someone say, except for the grace of God, there go I. We intervene and we share the hope of Jesus Christ with them, knowing that the truth can set them free, but we must be very careful as we do so because we do not want to fall prey to the same things that they're engaged in. We hate even the garment stained by the flesh. It's not about the fleshly thing. It's about the hope of Jesus Christ. So we give the hope of Jesus. We give the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, this is interesting when we think through this. If we are those who know our times, if we are those who live in Christ, and if we are those who take action according to the text, what do we understand? I would argue that the main point that we're seeing here is that whatever storms come our way, our ultimate strength is found in Jesus Christ. Whatever storms come our way, our ultimate strength is found in Jesus Christ. So we can take stock of the things that are happening in our culture and we can engage in the power of Jesus Christ. We can build ourselves up. We can pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ because of the work of Jesus Christ in our own lives, that we have our strength in Christ, and that's why we engage. That's why we see our church as an outpost of the kingdom of God, and we proclaim as ambassadors of the kingdom, come to Jesus. We are not those who sit idly by. And why is this important? Because in dark days, the temptation is for you and for me to retreat. But Jesus says, through my strength, advance. Win the lost. Show them the Savior. Risk for the King. Why? Because our ultimate strength is to be found in Jesus Christ. Now, what does Jude do in this text after giving us this very action-oriented cause for our life, that once we anchor ourselves in Jesus Christ to go and engage those, what does he tell us? And this is where we see verse 24 and 25, this amazing doxology. This was a section of scripture that was in the early church sung in many worship services. This was a section of scripture that has been proclaimed over the last 2,000 years as a blessing over the people of God at the close of a service. But in perilous days, in dark days, because we are anchored in the truth of Jesus Christ, listen to verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Time out. Do you catch this? That in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the dark days that are there, what's going on? Oh, Jude is singing a song of praise to our Savior, who is able to what? Keep us from stumbling. Who, because of the blood that he shed on the cross, is able to present us blameless before the presence of God. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Friends, that's why, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, why your friend kept inviting you to come. Because the answer of life's questions is found in Jesus. That's why, friend, even though you might have been acting in your own strength over the challenges that have been facing you over the last few weeks, you're now coming to realize I need to anchor myself in the power that comes from Jesus Christ alone. Our ultimate strength is found in Jesus Christ, and then it becomes expressed in worship. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And then watch this, before all time, now and forever. That last phrase is important. What that last phrase helps us understand, friends, is that God, even before the foundations of the world, had a plan. It's what the book of Ephesians talks about, what Paul talks about. Even before the foundation of the world, God had a plan, and he knew, and he's there in the midst of your storm. And you can find your ultimate strength in Jesus Christ, no matter the storm that comes. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you as the people of God, recognizing and understanding that we do not have the strength for the day. We do not have enough in us as individuals to make it. We need Jesus. So as a church, we come into this room, into this place, as followers of Jesus Christ, asking afresh for the strength of Jesus to be granted for our lives, to give us boldness to risk, to give us strength to go deeper in our study of the Word of God, to give us confidence to know that you are shaping us to be more and more like Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. For my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room today, dear God, would you bring them to a place where they surrender carefully to you and to your way. That today would be a renewing of their heart and focus for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would surrender once again to finding their strength in you. But God, I know in a room this size, there are men and women who have yet to trust you as their Savior. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that today you would set men and women free. Free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of their own selfish passions, free so that they can pursue truth in Jesus Christ. To many as received him, to them you gave the power to become sons and daughters of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Would you allow them to experience salvation this morning, we pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your living and active word. May you speak to our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.